thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
So we're going to turn to the book of Acts in the New Testament, of course, the fifth book of the New Testament, and we're in chapter 18. So we're at the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, or as some describe it, the Acts of the Holy Spirit. We're in chapter 18, and we're reading from near the end of the chapter, beginning at verse 24. Acts chapter 18 and verse 24. Now, a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the ways of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue when Aquila and Priscilla heard him. They took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace, for he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. And amen. And we seek God's blessing again upon the reading of his word tonight. Apollos is one of those characters of scripture that we don't know a great deal about. We only have a potted biography of most of the characters we meet in the scriptures. And of this man, we know that he was a Jew. We know that he was born in Greece, in Alexandria. And we know that Alexandria was one of the principal cities of Greece. There was a great library there. There was perhaps too the ancient foundations of a university there in Alexandria. And we read about him that he was an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures. Indeed, when describing him, Luke, who of course is the writer of the Acts of the Apostles, uses very strong adjectives to describe him, that he was a mighty man. He was an eloquent man. He was, verse 25, fervent in spirit. He spoke and taught accurately. Verse 26, he spoke boldly. And so it goes on till we come to that last verse we read, where he vigorously, with great energy, refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. I have to say that though I don't know him, never heard him, only know about him from the scriptures, I think from what I read, this was my kind of preacher. I would like to have heard Apollos preach. When I look at all those descriptions, those adjectives, those superlatives concerning him, he was a man who got excited about his subject. And I like a man who gets excited about his subject, whatever it is. But what better subject to get excited about than the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of the living God. As I look with you tonight at Apollos, I see a man who went through various stages in his search for and in his subsequent walk with God. He was a man who sought the Lord. We read of him being mighty in the scriptures in that first verse where we're introduced to him. He was a man who sought God in the scriptures. This man wasn't born a Christian. He was born a Jew. But you know, no one is born a Christian. You can be born a Catholic, you can be born a Protestant, you can be born with all kinds of labels attached to your family and to yourself, but no one is born a Christian. You may be born into a religious home. You may even be born into a Christian home where mother and father follow the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But that doesn't make you one. We are not Christians by natural birth. The late Billy Graham used to say that if you were born in a garage, it wouldn't make you a car. And being born into a Christian home doesn't automatically make you a Christian. And of course, and we're finding it increasingly in these days with the encroachment of other religions upon our national life and culture, you may be called a Christian. And I see people on the television and hear them on the radio who identify themselves as Christian. But this is merely a label to distinguish them from other religions. It doesn't mean they were born a Christian. It simply means I'm not a Buddhist. I'm not a Muslim. I'm not this. I'm not that. It's a convenient label. And of course, the country, perhaps at one time more deservedly than now, was known as a Christian country because it observed to a certain measure or degree the ways of the Christian religion, but it no longer has a right even to that label. Christians are not born as Christians. A natural birth doesn't make you a Christian. And of course, Jesus very strongly points this out. Jesus very strongly underlines this to a man named Nicodemus, whom you read about in John's Gospel, chapter 3. And he told Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you've been born once, and whatever label that birth conferred upon you, you carry. But Nicodemus, you must be born again. And to become a Christian, dear friend, you must be born again. Now that doesn't mean, as Nicodemus queried, that you need to have another physical birth. It means you need a spiritual birth. It means that you need a spiritual experience. It means that you need, as Jesus says when talking to Nicodemus, you need to be born from above. You need heaven to birth you. You need God to birth you as a Christian, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You become a Christian when you meet Christ personally. And when you personally trust him as your own and personal Savior. Thank God that can happen at any age. It can happen to the youngest boy or girl in this church tonight. It can happen to the oldest man or woman in this church tonight, and all points between. You can meet the Lord Jesus Christ, the living Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Lord Jesus Christ, and know what it is to be born anew, to be born afresh, to be born again, to be birthed by heaven, to be birthed by God. We find this man Apollos seeking the Lord. And if you seek for the Lord, if you seek God, if you seek the truth about him, if you seek the truth about Jesus Christ, you will find him and you'll find that truth. Why? Because he, all this while, he all this time is seeking for you. And if you're seeking him and he's seeking you, you will come together. You will meet. You will come, as it were, face to face. And that moment will mark your spiritual birth. When you realize that Christ alone is the answer, that Christ alone is the truth, that Christ alone is able to save. Apollos, as we've noted, was born a Jew in the Greek city of Alexandria, the center of education and culture and arts. We don't know at what age, but we do know there came a time in his life when he knew he needed God in his life. He needed the salvation that only God can give in his life. He needed a revolution in his life that only Jesus Christ, that only the Lord God could bring about. And so he began to seek him. And we read of him being mighty in the scriptures, so he sought him through the scriptures. And of course, that would have been the Old Testament scriptures. But he looked into those scriptures. He had learned them, no doubt, as a Jewish boy. He had learned many of its long passages by heart so that he could recite them. He looked into the law of the Lord. He looked into the prophets of God. He looked into the writings, the Psalms, for example. And in his reading, in his study, in his search, he was looking for God, for that which would connect him to the Lord. I wonder tonight what stage you are at. Are you seeking the Lord? Perhaps you are, without even realizing what you are seeking. The journey often begins with a dissatisfaction in your own heart, in your own soul, in your own life, where there comes this point of realization that there's more to life than just breathing. There's more to life than just getting up in the morning and going to bed at night. There's more to life than even the best, in inverted commas, that this world can offer you. And that seeking often begins as a dissatisfaction. Seeking, perhaps, you know not what. knowing only that something is missing in your life. You may have much in life, you may have little, but you know there's a dimension in your life that needs to be awakened, that needs to be quickened, that needs to be explored. And Apollos came to that moment, and he began to seek. He knew that his life was a jigsaw. And you know, there's nothing, we were speaking about frustration this morning. There's really nothing perhaps more frustrating than sitting down to do a jigsaw puzzle. And I'm not great at it, but my wife is the expert in the jigsaw. She can sit at a table and she can put the pieces together like nothing you've ever seen. But how frustrating it is, perhaps with a 500 piece or even a 1,000 piece jigsaw, to get to the very end and know there's a piece missing, a vital piece that leaves the jigsaw incomplete and unfulfilled. And that's like the human life. We're a jigsaw puzzle. And there's a vital piece missing. And that piece is Christ. That piece is the P-E-A-C-E, the peace of God. It's the life of God throbbing within your soul. That vital part is Christ. In younger days, I used to take a lot of missions here and there. And I remember preaching at a mission in the city of Dublin, in Thomas Street, in Dublin. The only hall that we could find was up two flights of stairs. And yet we went ahead with this mission, and night after night, people came, people who were hungry for God, but didn't know it. People whose lives were empty and they didn't know what to fill that emptiness with. And there was a young man, and of course from Dublin his name would be Pat, wouldn't it? I mean, 50% of the men in Dublin, no doubt, are called Pat. He was a school teacher, and he came every night, and I spoke to him every night. And on the first night, he explained to me this emptiness, this seeking, this searching. And he says, I just can't see what it is. I just can't get there. And I told him what I told you tonight, that if he's seeking the truth and if he's seeking God, then God is seeking him. And I said, you continue seeking. And he came night after night, and each night he would say to me, I don't see it yet. I don't see it yet. It's not there yet. But on the very last night of that mission, before even the meeting was open, Pat stood up. And before the meeting was over, Pat stood up. He said, I see it now. I see it now. He encountered Christ. And Christ became part of his life. I took a mission in Bangor, one of your late members, and indeed he was pastor for an interim period. The late Pastor Billy Mullen was pastor in Bangor Elim, and he kindly invited me along to conduct a mission, and very much the same thing happened. A man came along on the first night, and on the first night I spoke on the scripture, sir, we would see Jesus. And he said to me afterwards, I didn't see him. I didn't see him. I said, sir, are you searching for him? He says, I am, but I haven't seen him. I haven't found him. And again, I gave him that same counsel. Keep seeking, keep seeking. Keep your heart right, keep seeking. And a few nights later, he said to me at the door, I've seen him. I've seen him. And I know who he is. And I know he's now in my heart and in my life. Is that the stage you're at tonight? This man, he sought for God and he searched the scriptures. We read of him in verse 25 that he had been instructed in the way of the Lord. As a Jew, Apollos would have been taught, as we've mentioned already, the Old Testament scriptures. And perhaps it was through this that he found the Lord, so that when he heard, for example, as we read, the preaching of John the Baptist and was baptized by John the Baptist, his baptism was a baptism of repentance. John showed him the need to repent of his sin and to follow the Lord. He knew from the scriptures that he was a fallen man in need of God's mercy. And he knew from the Old Testament scriptures that God had promised to send a Savior. Because you see, the Bible, whether it's the Old Testament, with all those dusty books that sometimes we spin through if we read them at all, and they have their long lists of shalls and shall nots, and they have their long lists of genealogy and who belonged to who and who belonged to him and who belonged to him. And it goes on and on. It goes on at times. And we tend, if we read it at all, to speed read. Do you ever read rather than from left to right across the page? Do you ever read down the page? That's how we treat some passages of Scripture sometime. But Apollos, he sought for God in the Scriptures. And the Scriptures, this Old Testament as well as the New Testament, has really only one subject. And that subject is the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody has put it like this, that he's in the Old Testament, that is, he's in the Old concealed, and he's in the New revealed. And that great preacher of a former generation, indeed a former century, Spurgeon, C.H. Spurgeon, he put it like this, that in the Scriptures, through the Old and through the New Testament, from the beginning of the Old to the end of the New, there's like a scarlet thread woven all the way through. And that represents the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you read through those old books of Exodus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, and you read about the sacrifices of bulls and sheep and so on, and the blood that was shed and presented at the altar, it is all pointing to one who would shed his blood for us, for our salvation, for our liberty, for our pardon, for our freedom, for our redemption. The Lord Jesus Christ. And Apollos came to that point where he knew he needed to repent, and so he was baptized with John's baptism. Here he is taking all the right steps. And yet, he didn't know everything. He didn't know everything. Yes, he was preaching, and he was preaching eloquently, and he was preaching accurately, we read in verse 25, and everything that he knew was right. It was the truth. But there was little more to explore. There was little more to be discovered. And so he searched for the Lord. He searched through the Scriptures. And his searching, his knowledge had stopped at a certain point. Now that wasn't deliberate. It was simply a lack of knowledge. It was the need for someone to come and show him the way. All that he was saying was right in his preaching. All that he was teaching was absolutely 100% correct. He was fervent, we read in it. He was excited about the truth that he had discovered. His knowledge of Christ was accurate. We read he taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. And it seemed that his knowledge stopped at a certain point. We don't know what that point was, but certainly he was a man searching for God, searching the scriptures, and a man who had begun to walk with the Lord as far as his knowledge took him. And then we read in verse 26 that two lovely people, when he spoke boldly in the synagogue, two lovely people, Aquila and Priscilla, a husband and wife, when Aquila and Priscilla heard him, oh, they thanked God that this young man was so keen and fervent and energetic and mighty in the scriptures and in following the Lord. And so they took him aside. Isn't that nice? They took him aside. They said, come with us. Come and we'll make you a cup of tea. Come and we'll put the kettle on and we'll have a wee talk. And where we read in verse 25 that Apollos taught accurately the things of the Lord, we read that when Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. He had come to a point, but needed to go a little further. And perhaps that's true of someone in this service tonight. You too have come so far from where you started out, where perhaps you knew nothing. And then perhaps a glimmer of truth began to dawn and shine into the darkness of your heart. And you began to pursue it further and further and take steps. You got into the scriptures. You got into the fellowship of God's people. You came under the sound of God's word being expounded. You came under the sound of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you've come that far. But perhaps tonight you have a little further to go. You've come perhaps to the brink of decision. You've come to the point where, yes, you acknowledge that the gospel is true. And you acknowledge that Jesus Christ alone can save. And you acknowledge that you need God's salvation. And perhaps you're happy that you've come this far. But you have a further step to take, haven't you? You may be on the brink of decision, but there's another step to take. And I wonder tonight, what is it that hinders you taking that next vital step? We read of Apollos that he submitted to godly help. He submitted to godly help. He was following the Lord. He was even preaching about the Lord. He was preaching what he knew. But there was a gap in his knowledge. And that had to be filled. We don't know what it was. Perhaps it was his understanding of Christian application of the Old Testament. Perhaps it was his understanding of believers' baptism, because the baptism that John baptized with was a baptism of repentance that showed you were a repentant sinner. But it's one thing to turn your back on sin and another thing to turn to the Lord. You need to do both. You need to repent of your sin and put your trust in Jesus Christ. And I'm sure Apollos had done that. But there was a gap in his knowledge, and in his preaching this was clear. And so he submitted to the help of Aquila and Priscilla, and they explained the way of God more accurately to him. And perhaps tonight, dear friends, you need to submit, if not to the godly help of people like Priscilla and Aquila, you need to submit yourself totally to God. That's the nub. You need to completely hand over your life. We were singing in that, I think the last hymn that the praise group led, "Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." Is that where you've stopped? In not giving him your all? We've given him part. We've given him a little. We have given him so much. But there's a little gap. Perhaps just a little gap. That calls upon us to surrender our all to him. We can't keep one foot in the old life we lived and the other foot in the new life. We can't straddle a fence. We can't, dear friends, hold on to things that we need to let go of, that will hinder us in our walk with God. And we need to go on learning. Christian brothers and sisters tonight, we need to go on learning. We must never arrive at a point where we feel that we know it all. We've learned it all. We need to go on and on and on and on. Not stop at a certain point. And this godly couple, Aquila and Priscilla, they were good friends of the Apostle Paul. We read at the beginning of Acts chapter 18 how they took Paul into their home in Corinth, and how he stayed with them and worked with them. They were tent makers just as he was. They had opened their home to the Apostle Paul, and in the last chapter of Romans, he warmly commends them because he says they would have laid down their own lives for me. They'd have given their necks for me. Isn't it wonderful to have Christian supporters like that? And you know, here I am in Ballymoney tonight, and there's a very precious couple from this church in Ballymoney. One's in glory now, the other is still with us, though his health is challenged. I'm speaking of the Matthews, speaking of Mervyn and the late Joan. And when I was just a young preacher in the 1960s, the late 1960s, the second half of the 1960s, I arrived in the city of Armagh, where they lived at the time, and they lived in a tiny little flat, up a flight of outside stairs. And you know, dear friends, they took this young preacher in. They took this young preacher in. And their hospitality was lavish, second to none. And I thank God for both of them. And thank God for the chats we had, the conversations we had. They knew their Bible, and Mervyn was very strong in some points. And I thank God for them. Young people need mentors. They need those who will help shape their lives. And Apollos needed that, and he submitted to it. But above everything else, the Lord wants to take you on tonight. If you're not yet his, if you're on that road, if you're on various, you've reached various stages, and you're at that place now where you must come, you must step over that line, you must cross that threshold. Do it. Do it tonight. Trust Christ. Take him as your Savior. And then go on from there. And friends, if you're over the line and you've trusted Christ, whether it was recently or whether it was years ago, but you've stopped somewhere along the line, know this. But the journey isn't over yet. The journey of discovery. The journey of going on and going through with God. The Christian life is not stationary. It's not a merry-go-round. It's an exciting journey of learning and growing and expanding and pressing on toward the mark in full assurance of faith and trust. And you know what Apollos learned? He began to share with others. And he strengthened others. And he showed others, as we read in that last verse from the scriptures, that Jesus is the Christ. So may you. And may God so touch and use our lives for his glory. The Lord bless you. And you go through with God, your vows to pay, your all upon the altar lay, and the Holy Ghost will do the rest and bring to you God's very best. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.